Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPietro and Rothenberg.
Stephen Maipak. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Robert.
You can call him Robert.
Let's rehold him. Let's start again. Here we go.
Bob.
All right, Bob here. Stephen Maipak.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. I don't want to mess it up.
You can't even say the names now? Who am I? What is my name?
Mr. Rothenberg.
Robert Rothenberg.
Yes.
This is DPietro and
Mr. Rothenberg.
All right, well, who am I to stand in your way? Go ahead, Steve.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 7 o'clock hour. DPietro and Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. First of all, 1-800-919-3776. We get back heavily involved in the baseball. Mel Kiper at 735. The more I hear, Rick, and Mel continues to say no, I'm going to ask him again. Ritter, now you hear? Sam Howell, you hear? Are we going to get a quarterback that goes in the top 10?
Yeah, not one of those guys.
No, but Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett?
Well, I mean, Mel has said a bunch of different times he doesn't think a quarterback in this year's draft is going to go in the top 10, and then McShay's last mock came out, and they had
Pickett at 6.
Pickett at 6.
So it's the question I ask him every time, and he has steadfastly said, no, you're not going to get a quarterback to go top 10. I wonder if it changes this week.
Maybe it does.
Maybe it does.
Maybe it does. See,
well,
I mean,
you know,
he hears a lot of stuff.
Stay tuned for the conversation at 7:35 this morning. And again, whipped cream on the horizon. Friday, the whipped cream shipment starts its journey from Long Island to wherever the hell he lives.
Now, here's my fear, though. If I send him too much of it, and now he packs it away to go to the draft, now he's in Vegas, and they're like, where's Mel? And you see him off the side of the stage doing,
whipped cream shots?
Whipped cream shots. Him and Shefty doing whippets. Like, it could get ugly in Vegas. It's Vegas.
It is Vegas.
It's Vegas, baby.
It is Vegas. Can you imagine that? We had Mel for scheduled for an 8:12 hit. Where is he? Whipped cream.
Yeah, whipped cream. He's at the blackjack table. Just whipped cream.
Blackjack table. You got an 11 against a 7. What are you doing? Hit me and give me a shot of whipped cream, baby. All right, let's get back into the local baseball teams. Good weekend. Great weekend.
Yeah, good weekend. Productive weekend.
Mets go 3-1. Hammer a team they should beat up on. Costly loss yesterday, and a loss they probably shouldn't have had, but 3 out of 4, still pretty good. Yankees trailed in every game 2-0 early and go on to win 2 out of those 3. So for all parties, good weekend.
You know, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
This has nothing to do with baseball. It's troubling, really. And I think this is says a lot about me in a bad way. That at 7:03 on Monday, my mother needs to text me, it's your brother's birthday today.
So you know what she's saying?
She has no faith.
She has, zero confidence in you. Zero. That you will remember it's Al's birthday today.
That's amazing. Of course I remembered it's his birthday. Stop. I got one brother. Of course I remember his birthday.
I understand her concern with you.
Now I do. Yep.
You have a lot going on.
No, I have a lot going on.
You have a lot going on. So now, it's his birthday. You remember. Do you A, text, B, call, C, do those things, and is there a gift involved? How deep do you get in Al's birthday?
No gift, FaceTime.
No gift, FaceTime. Are kids involved in the FaceTime?
Kids
like, happy
involved.
Birthday, Uncle Al.
They'll sing happy birthday, all of it, yep.
All of it.
All of it.
But so Mel Kiper gets gifts. Brother Al receives nothing.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't exchange gifts.
So who set that precedent, though?
Well, the kids all get gifts. Like, it's one of the good. We send gifts to the kids.
The kids
but
get
there's no
gifts.
Reason. Adults, we don't need gifts. Stop.
No, all right.
No, it's not. There's no.
Listen, I mean,
actually, I shouldn't say that. He got me something for my 40th.
Well, that's different.
So when he turns 40, I'll get him something for his 40th.
Is this a big one for him? What is this, like a 37?
It's not a big one at all, no.
All right, so it's a not a big birthday. I think it's fine. But at least you know it's happening now, which is nice.
I'm still waiting for you to get your birthday present that I sent you. That's still for some reason.
I have a big one. When am I going to get this thing?
I told you. I'm calling today because I'm actually really aggravated now. Because I've already paid.
I realize my birthday's a month ago tomorrow.
Well, yeah, maybe you'll get it. I told you it was like 49, 50-ish kind of birthday. So maybe you'll actually get it.
Yeah, that big of a present? By the way, my wife wants no part of multiple TVs in the living room.
No, well, she better smarten up because that's happening.
She's like, 50's right around the corner. We're not turning our house into a media center.
Oh, stop. Come on.
That's what she says.
It's three TVs. Come on.
Then all of a sudden I'm going to have Peacock all over the place.
I mean, this is reasonable. There's no, I mean, there's the.
I think it's very, listen, I agree with you. Very reasonable.
Well, she's got two boys and you. So she's got three children that need to watch sports. I need you in the door jam on an uncomfortable seat with my back. You already have back issues.
You bring up a great point. I agree with you. Oh, I got pythons. Maybe when we have the big dinner party.
Where did that come from?
There's a million drops. Maybe when we have the big dinner party, you guys can sell her on this. Where are we with that, by the way?
Don't ask me. RJ is the one that has the
RJ Raymond, we're going to get to the baseball in a moment. Where are we with the dinner party?
I'm wide open.
You're what, Ray? You're now more open than you've been.
Listen, it's a lot more wide open than it has been as of last night. So, I mean, well, what are we looking at here? The Rangers play both of the upcoming Saturdays, but the first Saturday where there's nothing going on, April 30th.
How about April 30th? That's draft weekend too.
It is.
How about April 30th?
Well, you know what you've done. I mean, you guys understand what you've done now, because RJ's not going to answer. He'll get back to his house. We'll have the premature look ahead that is useless, really, and then a full synopsis of the next 3 months.
Yeah, an Excel chart of, well, this date works, but this date doesn't work for you or for you or for you. RJ just said, quote, I'm wide open. Let's get it done.
Hello.
What was that with Ira?
I don't know.
The guy's been calling us for 30 years.
Hello.
In the midst of a phone call, he's like, hello.
Mid-question, hello.
Hello.
That was weird. All right, so let's get to the Mets and the Yankees. Overall,
good morning,
Mets.
Robert. I mean,
Mr. Rothenberg. All right, so Mets, 3-1. Bassett was great. Scherzer was good. McGill was excellent. And even Carrasco was good yesterday.
No, Carrasco was good. By the way, this concerned me, and I'm not going to try to wet blanket the situation because I'm very happy. But I got RJ, got some sound for me. RJ, play this sound. I want to see how Dave reacts to it.
Went pretty well. Concerned while I was having a battle through, was able to pitch it, you know, one click down and just kind of go out there and compete.
That's Max Scherzer, for anyone that's wondering. Hey, what are we doing? It's game two. It went well for considering what I was pitching through. Like, we're going to make him pitch through things in game two? Does that make any sense to you?
I guess the hamstring, right? He's still...
Yeah, but why are you pitching? But why are you pitching through it? There's no reason
fine.
To pitch through it.
He's
fine.
He's a warrior. Come on.
Oh, yeah, he's a warrior. I know he's a warrior. Which that's what concerns me. I'm going to pitch through a hamstring.
Did you watch him and think that there was an issue? He looked fine.
No, I understand that. But do I want one of my? He's my ace now. That DeGrom's on the shelf. Do I want him to tell me that? Yeah, you know, it's one of those. It's just pitching around an injury. No, I don't want him pitching around an injury in game two of a 162 game season.
You really are wet blanketing this whole thing.
I'm not trying to. That concerns me. I don't like it.
All right. Well,
all right. Continue with the joy.
Exactly. I mean, you're rating on my parade. The Mets go 3-1. Now it's 3 against the Phillies. You know what I love? You must love this as well. You know what time the Mets Phillies is tonight?
6:30.
Yeah, 6:35 start.
Oh, that's nice.
Right?
That's nice.
Sit a little 6:35. You're done before 10. Get a reasonable night's sleep. Unlike the Yankees, who start after 7 o'clock and go till God knows when.
Yeah, Yankees Red Sox are just long games.
Oh anyway. My God! I get 4 hours of Yankees Red Sox. 4 hours.
That's a lot. It's a lot.
I mean, that's a 9-course meal. That series.
Yeah, but it's nice though. It's Yankees Red Sox. I do like that.
No, everybody likes watching Yankees Red Sox. I would appreciate a game that didn't go 3.5 hours though.
I think everyone would. I do like the fact that the Yankees are using the what is it called, PitchCom?
Yes.
I do like that.
And you know what I really enjoyed? The Kike Hernandez interview during the game last night.
I thought that was good.
I thought that was great, and I think you need to see more of that. I mean, you're brought into the action. I thought it was an excellent job by ESPN.
I do think that the three men in the booth is a little bit too much, though.
Well, you know what I thought is that David Cone kind of got, because Cone is great, and we know him and we love him here from the Yankees broadcast. I felt like on that broadcast last night, it was not vintage David Cone. Like, it was a real feeling out process, and you didn't get the full, comfortable David Cone in that
game. But I think that's what makes David great, though, is that he's willing to do that. That's what makes him a good, I mean, that's what makes him a good broadcast partner, is that he's going to play off the other two guys. And when he has an opportunity, he'll jump in. But, you know, I mean, you've been doing this long enough, too. I mean, it's how you act depends on who's driving the show. Right?
Yes.
Like, he's not comfortable with Carl yet. He's much more comfortable with Michael. So you see the more, you know, the funner side of Coney. He had a couple of funny lines. The conditioner line I thought was funny, but I'm not even going to joke with you. Like, at one point, I was like, I thought Coney was on Sunday Night Baseball because I hadn't heard him. And then finally he said something. I was like, okay, there he is.
And there is David Cone. Yeah, I felt the same way. In fact, every time he would talk, I'd be like, I forgot Cone was even here.
We get spoiled, though, man. I mean, between the Mets broadcast and then I think Cone's
awesome. I'll never
awesome
take them for
the
granted again. Ever. Like, if those guys were walking down the streets, I would buy their lunch. I mean, give them hugs. Like Ron, Gary, Keith, those guys are. I've always liked them. I've never liked them more than I do today.
Well, you take them for granted. I mean, that's the one, I guess, for them it's a positive, is that when you're stuck watching a game on Apple Plus and you don't have those guys, I mean, you really miss them a lot.
You know, we didn't even mention, how about the Nationals just hitting the Mets all over the place this weekend?
Yeah, that's, I mean, a couple of those, too. I mean, that one to Lindor is so, it's so dangerous, man.
Thank God he's wearing that, you know, the protection that goes over the face.
Yeah, the flap.
Thank God he's wearing
that. Well, and
then
he had the bat up there, too, protecting his face. But, I mean, that's... And then the one to Pete, I mean, that's one of those pitches that when it starts running in towards you, you can't get out of the way of that. It's impossible.
But it's so dangerous.
Absolutely. It's the last... And this is... I mean, you can't afford to start losing guys now because pitchers can't control a baseball. And you saw the frustration. And, I mean, the fact that Buck was the first one out of the dugout...
He was livid. You could tell how incensed he was.
Well, if you're a Mets fan, you don't love that. I'm sure his players love that. Love it. That's what you want. It's the whole, everything surrounding the Mets right now just feels different.
It feels, because you know why it feels different? I think it is.
Well, it feels like someone's in charge, actually. It feels like
there's an adult in the room now, doesn't it?
Multiple.
Yeah, it really does. All right, people lined up. Want to get into the baseball conversation. Let's go there. 1-800-919-3776. Let's start with Brandon on the Garden State Parkway. Good morning, Brandon. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
I just wanted to say I called you guys Friday. I kind of expressed my disapproval of Aaron Hicks. And again last night, left five runners on base. I'm starting to wonder if they might have to move DJ LeMahieu to center field because I don't see why he should be sitting on the bench for half the games this season.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that, too. Yeah, I mean, Hicks was up in a couple of big spots. I mean, he had the third inning, he had the bases loaded. The fifth, he had second and third. Popped out to foul ground at third base. I don't know. You signed DJ LeMahieu to a long-term deal, and now we have no place to play him.
He's just not that good.
Hicks, no. On top of the fact that he's always hurt. He's hurt a lot.
Yeah, and you're locked in long-term for this guy, too.
Yeah, I can understand why as a Yankees fan that would be frustrating.
Oh, it's got to be. DPHR Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Jay in Hoboken. Good morning, Jason. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to just go off of that as well with the Aaron Hicks to the last caller. It's more of Aaron Hicks and Joey Gallo. I'm not going to get too crazy about it. It's three games in. But realistically, if these guys don't hit in that 6-7-5 spot, this lineup is very top-heavy because you're not expecting much from the catcher. And Falefa is kind of more of like a contact guy, more towards the bottom. So and if these guys really continue to struggle, there's going to be a big problem in the middle of this lineup going forward.
You can't have Hicks and Gallo have subpar seasons because you're right. With Kiner Falefa and the catcher, you don't expect huge things at the bottom of the order.
No, the top of your order is going to mash. Stanton has to have a big year. Judge has to have a big year. I'm sure they're. I mean, I would imagine they're expecting Torres now being at second base to have a big year. I mean, you're talking about. I mean, that's, I mean, Joey Gallo is batting fifth in your lineup.
Oh, he drives me crazy. If I was a Yankees fan, like, I wonder how long before the booze, and I know you had some this weekend, but I mean, before, like, when he steps up to the plate, he gets hammered with booze.
That's coming.
I don't think it's going to be long with him at all.
No, they had, I mean, they were fed up with him last season. That's who he is, though, man. I mean, he hits a lot of home runs and he strikes out a lot.
Well, and everyone was excited when they got him.
And he's an above average left fielder.
He's a good left fielder.
He did have the wall. He had the one play where he kind of, I don't know if he lost the ball or whatever, but he dove and kind of, he missed it. But yeah, he's a good left fielder. But I understand what the caller's saying. I mean, I just, and I'll keep saying this, in their best lineup has, and if you want to keep Gallo in the lineup, I get it. Because, I mean, left-handed bat can hit you home runs and everything else. Is Gallo in left, Judge in center, and Stanton in right? And LeMahieu in the lineup every day?
Every single day.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So April 30th works for you, right, Rick?
I'm good April 30th. Yep.
Yeah. Raymond, April 30th for you. How's that looking?
We have confirmed that one works.
Okay, great. I'm just being told now the man who said he can do April 30th cannot do April 30th. RJ, true. Explain what happened 90 seconds ago, April 30th. Let's get it done. Now where are we?
It's right into the narrative. That's
just be honest. You don't want to socialize with us.
No, I do. I greatly do. It's that. Listen, that's the one day. That's
no.
Yep.
No, it's a terrible job. So, Rick, listen, I don't even know if you heard this. He has a wedding in Florida on April 30th. So how in his right mind could he have committed to April 30th 5 minutes ago?
He was wide open. That's wide open.
That's what you said. Oh, I'm wide open on April 30th.
Well, I knew I had one. I knew it was coming up. I didn't think you'd pick the one day that I couldn't do.
Wait, you're going to blame me?
No, I'm not blaming you. I was playing the odds and I lost.
And how do you have no idea when you're traveling the country?
I knew roughly, but I didn't think you'd pick the one day. I played the odds, like I said, and I lost.
And it blew up right in your face. Well, here's what I'm going to suggest.
Is this your buddy's wedding?
This is the Vegas Bachelor Party payoff.
Oh, okay. And you're in this wedding.
That's right.
And you had no idea when it was.
I knew when it was. I was playing the odds.
You didn't.
I was playing the odds and I lost. I was telling you. I didn't think
he was lying to you is what he was. He was teasing you by saying he's wide open, but in actuality, he's not really wide open.
You know what? Just be like the Yankees should be. We don't want you long term, and we're not going to give you an offer that you're deserving of. Just say, guys, I don't want to get together for the dinner party. Ipso facto, it will never happen.
That's not the case, though. I'd be lying. You want me to lie?
Here's where I am. Rick and Ray, I don't know if you feel the same way. I'm done. When RJ is ready to put this thing on the calendar and get it done, he will suggest some dates he can actually do, and then we can choose from those dates.
I think that's the only way this is ever going to get done.
Because this is now, what, the third time that we have made, quote, plans and you've had something come up?
I think we've been doing this since before basketball and hockey season, right?
Yeah, this is months and months.
We've literally gone through a season now.
It's never going to happen, RJ.
He'll find something. So a wedding, bachelor party, or whatever.
RJ's in a lot of weddings.
A lot of weddings.
Which is fine, but right.
It's to accentuate the size. You know what it is, though. It's
traveling to another state, and it was your buddy's wedding.
Rick has a punchline that he really wants to get to, I can hear.
No. All I'm saying is the reason why you invite RJ to all the weddings, that now he accentuates the height of the groom.
There it is. Continue, Dave.
No, I'm done. I'm done. You know what? We are a business transaction is what we are
no,
as a show.
No, don't say we. Do not say we. Do not don't lump us all into the same category because RJ doesn't want to hang out.
Why don't the three of us just do something? You know, I bet John Winthrop and his Mickey Mouse plates would want to get involved with this.
Well, I imagine we're going to go to
Mickey
a... correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just assuming, and maybe it's my own... you're not supposed to assume, but we're going to go to a Rangers playoff game at some point, right?
100%.
Okay, so we grab... I mean, that's the plan. We grab dinner, and then we end up at the Rangers game.
Yeah, but I thought we would have the dinner party with families and children and everything so we could really bond as a show.
I think we can still do that. I think that's still on the table.
Well, RJ's going to have to bring it to the table. RJ, it's now on you.
Maybe we get a nice summer day by the pool. We see you in the pool shirt. The whole thing.
I'll bring my I could go long sleeve swim shirt. I go short sleeve swim shirt. I could do anything.
Yeah, break out the slosh shirt.
Oh yeah, that's funny. Well, you won't show up anyway.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness,
nothing to worry about then.
You little
hello.
Hello?
Is there a slaw on the shirt?
Hello.
Hello.
I love that. I mean, he's in the midst of his point. So I think that I'm really nervous about the Jets. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Is anybody there?
Hello.
He started hearing, he's hearing voices.
Hello.
Was like my grandmother swore she heard voices for like 2 years. It's like, there's this radio show going on in my head. I'm like, what?
Your grandmother heard voices?
Yeah.
Wait. Did you put her in a home? What do you mean
no,
she heard voices?
No, I think her hearing aid was like picking stuff up and she thought she had
like frequency of other conversations?
Yeah, something, yeah, like
good
or a radio
morning,
station.
Good morning, Robert.
Mr. Rothenberg.
Not only did that guy call me Robert, then he called me Mr. Rothenberg. He did it in like this old smoky voice. Like, yeah, good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Like, can't you see the cigarette dangling from his mouth?
Yes.
Good morning, Robert.
Yes.
How are you, Mr. Rothenberg? Hello?
Mr. Rothenberg.
Hello.
Robert, if you will.
Hello.
RJ, you're a real disappointment. I got to be honest. I mean, I love hanging with you, and you give us no opportunities.
Hanging with... When was the last time you hung with RJ?
I was the reason the one time we did hang.
The wedding.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We'd be shut out otherwise.
Yeah, but that was self-serving.
Oh, it was his wedding. Yeah.
My point.
Yeah, so
when it comes to doing stuff up and above the wedding, RJ's nowhere to be found.
Listen, I'm on the scoreboard. I organized the one greeting since this current incarnation came together.
You know what? If it was reversed, we would have had the weddings and you would have been like, oh, sorry, guys, I can't make it.
No, if anything, I'm elite at attending weddings. That I'm very good at.
Well,
I don't think you've missed a wedding.
No. He'll go to anybody's wedding.
Yeah, I just show up.
RJ,
he's like the seat filler at the weddings.
Is your buddy going to have that little guy that emceed your wedding at his?
Yeah, I like that guy.
How's
your Dave Maloney father-in-law?
He's doing great. I saw him over the weekend. I'm sure good. He sends his best to you.
Good. And by the way, I don't like him.
Wow. That's
because he took shots at me during his toast.
When you were in the kitchen or no?
No, not when I was in the kitchen. When he was like, and RJ knows more about sports than anyone. You ask this guy a trivia question, you turn RJ knows everything. You tell me that wasn't directed at me?
We were all at the table, Dave. We all saw your face.
Well, we saw your face.
It was
disgusting. He meant per square inch.
A PSI?
Yeah, PSI.
Well, he didn't include PSI.
Well, because again, this is you notice that everyone, every server, the MC, they were all smaller than RJ.
Well, that wasn't by accident.
It was pre-planned.
Of course it was. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So, for the Rangers' April 21st matchup against the Islanders, we're giving away a grand prize VIP reservation for six with food and beverage at West Harlem's At the Wallace. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. You'll be one of 10 qualifiers. We'll be qualifying listeners through Friday before selecting our grand prize winner. All from 98.7 ESPN. Let's go quick, and then we'll break and get ready for Mel Kiper Jr. Mike in Queens. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about the Aaron Judge deal. I don't have a problem with Cashman not giving those 9 years. So when he started talking about it, first thing I thought of was the Albert Pujols deal and how that really didn't work out for Los Angeles. Is they got, I think they have very similar numbers when they came out as free agents, and look how that worked out, as they had to eat that back end of the contract. So I know that we
Albert
get a
Pujols
lot of...
is, Albert Pujols is one of the greatest right-handed hitters in the history of the sport. I get your point.
Right.
Yeah, see, but now we're just assuming that Aaron Judge wants 9 years. Depending on who you talk to, it's like one person will say he wanted the more years, and then someone else you talk to says, no, it's less about the years and more about the average annual, where he wants $36 million a year as opposed to 30 and a half a year. It feels like if they wanted to get the deal done, they could have got the deal done.
They could have got the deal done. They could have gone the little extra mile. He would have been pleased. It would be done. And now we're making it up. Though he wanted 9 years or 10 years. No.
Well, I
don't think he had an issue with the 8 years.
No, count this year. Make it an 8-year deal. So rather than making 17, just sign one. Okay, this is the new deal. We haven't even come to our agreement in arbitration yet. It's an 8-year deal, and it's for 34 a year or 32 and a half a year. Whatever the number is.
265, and everyone's happy.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Mel Kiper. Good morning, Mel. How are you?
You guys are early birds. Boy, I will have a 2-round mock coming out Wednesday. I'm up till 4 in the morning, and I say, wow, I got an early morning wake-up call for Rick and Dave. I said, man, this is the worst possible Monday to be doing this, but I'll give you my best shot here today.
Oh, you're the best of the best. By the way, don't be surprised if, oops, whipped cream just shows up at your doorstep in the next couple days.
I haven't had any till, what was it, what's that, the 3-week mark now? It's ridiculous, but hey, what are you going to do?
Don't worry. Don't worry. It's on the way very soon.
Lots of whipped cream too, Mel. Lots.
Is there
more than the 8, Mel? All I'm saying, yep. More than the 8 you got last time.
You guys are amazing. I'll say no more. I want to jinx myself here.
All right. So walk me through this. If the Giants wind up with either Ekwonu or Neal and Thibodeau, right? If that's their 5-7, would you look at that as an absolute home run for this new regime?
Yes, I would think so. I think Jermaine Johnson the second could be in there as well as a pass rusher at 7. If Thibodeau goes as high as you think he could go, and I'm working on that, as I said, right now, I got a 2-round mock coming out Wednesday, and you think about where Sauce Gardner is going to go. He's kind of the red-hot player right now, the corner from Cincinnati. When you talk to people in the league, that's what you do when you do a mock. You don't do it based on your ratings. You do it based on what you're hearing, and everybody seems to feel he could be the best player in this draft. He's the cleanest player. He checks every box. Comes in it off a great career, workouts, you name it. Everything's gone perfectly for Sauce Gardner, and that's why he could go as high as 2, 3, at the worst, probably 4, the way it looks right now. The Jets are picking at 4, so he could be gone by then. And then you're looking, do you take Thibodeau at 4? Then do you come back if you're the Jets and take Drake London at 10, if he's there? And the Giants sitting there with Ekwonu at 5, and then maybe Jermaine Johnson at 7 if Thibodeau's gone. So it's really, like I say, the one guy that I can definitely say has locked in after Aiden Hutchinson is clearly the second best player in terms of boards, or the number one would be Sauce Gardner.
Now, Mel, let me ask you this, and I know it's a bit of a crapshoot, but as far as what you've seen in previous drafts and how those, like a Nick Bosa has translated to the next level, when you look at the pass rushers in this year's draft, what kind of immediate impact do you think they have?
They're not as good. That's the thing. They don't have as high a grade as the Myles Garrett and even Jadeveon Clowney and then certainly Nick and Joey Bosa. I think Aiden Hutchinson is right a little off that group. Certainly Thibodeau's a little back off of that. Trayvon Walker's kind of the wild card because he's not a true pass rusher. You're asking him to do something in the NFL he has not yet done. And that's where there's some risk-reward there, obviously. And Trayvon Walker, versatility. He shows more quickness, I think, and twitch inside than he did outside, but he's an awesomely talented kid. I mean, that's what you're betting on. You're betting on the talent. You're betting on the coaching that you have in terms of your D-line coach. The D-line coach is going to be critical for Trayvon Walker. So they're all a little different, but they're not quite as good as the guys you mentioned.
Now, Mel, let me ask you this. So the people that you talk to, how much of, because I'm seeing Trayvon Walker, I mean, all over the place, but I mean, flying up the board here in a lot of these mock drafts. How much of what you saw from in the production you saw from Micah Parsons, does that play into maybe what people see as far as the potential for a Trayvon Walker?
Well, Trayvon, not the kind. Micah had shown that he could just do anything you wanted him to do. I mean, it wasn't like they had said, okay, just go get after the quarterback. They didn't ask him to do that, and he was able to, but he showed it. Trayvon Walker, you saw the explosion of Micah Parsons in games. You saw how fast he went from point A to point B. Trayvon doesn't show that and that explosiveness. in terms of being that type of pass rusher yet. Now, they moved him around. They dropped him into coverage. Like I said, he showed really good quickness, inside. And I think that's where, again, you see the talent. You see the want to. You see flashes of it, but you don't see that outside dominating potential that you did with Parsons and that ability to be that pass rusher supreme. So can he get there? Sure he can. The talent's there. But when you don't see it in college and you're expecting him all of a sudden to do it in the NFL, that's sometimes asking a lot. If you look back at some of the disappointments, it's because you always were thinking, well, we can coach him up. We can start maximizing all that talent in the NFL. Sometimes it's happened, but a lot of times it hasn't. So that's why I say there's a little bit of – he's the kind of a wild – for me, he's the wild card. I have him looking at – you're talking about going second or third in the draft. So you're expecting him to be that double-digit sack guy or certainly be right off the Clowney. People say, oh, he never registered 10 sacks. He's been at 9.5 with 4 or 5 times. So he's been right there. That's what you would – so you would expect Walker to be like that 8 to 10 sack a year guy, worst-case scenario.
Mel Kiper with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I ask you every time. You've been steadfast in your answer, but I saw Todd's mock draft last week or the week prior where he had Kenny Pickett 6. Are you of the mindset that you could get one, if not more, quarterbacks in that top 10, or do you stand by it's not going to happen?
I think one could, and I think the one could is Malik Willis, not Kenny Pickett, for me. I think from what you hear, that's what they're saying, that the Malik Willis would be the one. And the teams I've spoken to are not high on this quarterback class. They think 2 max in the first round. Some only have 1 as a first rounder, but I think you'll see 2, 3 possibly in the first, because they always get forced into that late first. Teams are trading back in because they can get that extra year. So you may see a Desmond Ridder or a Matt Corral go at the end of the first round. You may see that. It'll be interesting to see what Tennessee does. A lot of people think they could take a quarterback like Ridder, the Rabel-Luke Fickell connection, right? They were the 2 defensive ends at Ohio State. They played together there at Ohio State, coming off the edge, 1 on one side, 1 on the other. So we'll see how that goes. But I do think Malik Willis right now with Carolina, people do think Carolina's going to take a quarterback. I don't know if they'll take one at 6. They could trade down, but if they do stay at 6, I'm going to think Malik Willis more so than Kenny Pickett right now.
All right, Mel. So because the Jets were so involved, they were one of the 2 teams involved with the Tyreek Hill trade, and he picks Miami, and there's been a lot of talk about them, maybe a DK Metcalf. So with what you've seen, if the Jets are sitting there at 10 because they decided to take Sauce Gardner with 4, would you take a Drake London or a Garrett Wilson, or would you trade that pick for a DK Metcalf? What would you do?
Well, I think you have to assess DK. It's hard to do that type of thing, to say where was he coming out, it's where he is now. He was the end of the second round, but he certainly played a lot better than that. Should have gone a lot higher than that, obviously. And Garrett Wilson may be gone. That's the thing. You got to play your 4 and your 10. So then you're saying, okay, if we take the receiver at 4, can we get the pass rusher or the corner at 10? I think you probably could. Then it gets into the value that you assess a player in that Robert Saleh defense, and that's also the thing there. You have some corners. You have some young corners that play pretty well. So is a pass rusher more important? Would a Jermaine Johnson make sense there if he's there? I don't know if he'll even be there. That's where it's a roll of the dice either way. I think the corner will. I think Stingley Jr. will be there at 10, despite having a really good workout last week. I think that's going to keep him. Now, he's not going to slide to 15 to 20. Like some have thought. Some have had him dropping into the 20s. Some have had him dropping into that 15 range. I think he goes no lower than 12 right now. And so he could be there at 10. So if you're saying at 4, if you get the receiver Garrett Wilson, then you could take one of those players. If you're saying would Garrett Wilson or London be there at 10, I think one of the 2 will. And the name I would think could be there at 10 would not be Garrett Wilson. It would be Drake London.
All right, so I don't want you to tell me where you think they go. I want, in your opinion, give me the top 3 or 4 receivers in this draft.
Well, I think Garrett Wilson just is the cleanest going in because, London's coming off an injury, hasn't run for the clock. So you know what you're getting with Garrett Wilson. He ran great. He's got the versatility. Once the route running keeps improving, coached by Brian Hartline, we know all the great things about Garrett Wilson. Great kid, plays hard, he's a baller, put him out there, let him go. London would be 2. And then you get into Chris Olave at 3, only because of Jameson Williams coming off the injury. That's your 4. That's your big 4. And in what order? Hey, everybody's different on that. But I would go Wilson 1, London 2, Olave 3, and Jameson Williams 4. But the Williams thing, if you want to say, okay, we know medically he's going to be back ready to roll in, say, October, November, and you can wait on Jameson Williams, if you can wait on Jameson Williams, you can put him up there as the number one guy. If you want to, if you feel, if your medical staff feels good about him coming back, no problem, and you can wait till October, November, Jameson Williams is the number one receiver in this draft.
Mel Kiper joins us here on the show. Mel, last one for me, because Dave's all excited. He wants a tackle. He wants one of these tackles. Giants picking at 5. Do you think Neal or Ekwonu are still there?
At 5, I do. I think Ekwonu and Neal both could be there at 5. Both could. Because if you're talking about the pass rushers going up there, the 3, okay, Hutchinson, Walker, and Thibodeau, and you got Sauce Gardner, that's 4, right? Then that means Ekwonu and Neal will both be there. So, yes, whoever the Giants want at that right tackle spot could still be there at 5. And Neal's played there. Ekwonu had a great – I think I have a slightly higher grade on Ekwonu. Either way, they're going to, I think, be able to solidify the offensive line with that 5th pick.
Thank God that you just said that. All right, one more, and then we'll let you go and get started with your pumpkin pie and the whole thing this morning. Trades. Do you think we're going to see a lot of trades moving towards this draft and in the first round of this draft?
I tried to project some. It's just hard because Carolina at 6, if they're going to lock in and not trade down, okay, you don't do that. Then you get Pittsburgh at 20. Kenny Pickett could be there at 20. Okay, the talk is they may not move. So there could be some movement, I think, down because of different players. I'm interested to see what Philadelphia and New Orleans. Philadelphia's picking one pick ahead of New Orleans. Philadelphia needs a receiver. New Orleans does. Could there be some movement there? The Chargers, they look at maybe a Trevor Penning. Well, Trevor Penning could go to New Orleans at 16. So is there some movement there? So late in the first round, is there some movement for Tyler Linderbaum, the center from Iowa? If he drops into where Nick Mangold went because he has short arms, okay, and he's not that big, okay, maybe a heck of a center who's going to be, I think, a Pro Bowl caliber center goes in the late first round because somebody maybe trades into the late first round or what have you. So that to me is, and the intrigue on Jameson Williams and the receivers, is a team going to make a move to get a receiver? Is a team like, say, New England going to move up to get a corner? Is Kansas City going to move up to maybe get a corner or a receiver? I think it's going to be that type of intrigue, but to isolate and say, I know who the players are and who the teams are right now, very, very difficult.
It's all very, very exciting. So let me just see if I have this straight now. Your new mock draft drops on Wednesday morning. Is that accurate?
It drops on Wednesday morning, and it'll be incorporated in Mock 4.0. Will be Mock 1.0 of the second round. I haven't done a second round mock yet, and that will be out Wednesday as well. So the first and second round mock will be Wednesday as well, and that'll be the final mock until the morning of the draft on April 28th.
This is all very exciting, and you're going to have the shipment of whipped cream also showing up on your doorstep. So, Mel,
that's
as
the most
always,
exciting part of this. I tell you, that's the most exciting thing. I haven't had. It's hard to eat pumpkin pie without whipped cream. So, guys, I'm waiting. I'm waiting patiently. I guess impatiently for what you just said about the whipped cream, because whipped cream and pumpkin pie work together. Without one, you know the other.
There you have it. There you have it, Mel. We appreciate you taking a couple minutes out for us this morning, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day, man. See you.
I got it. And that, of course, is Mel Kiper. Says he wasn't going to be great today. He's always great.
He's always great. What's amazing to me, I mean, the amount of knowledge he has in his brain.
It's incredible,
how he can remember all these players, all the different, I mean, it just the different traits of all these players. We're going to get a round 2 now on Wednesday.
You know what, which is big for us, by the way, because the Jets have 2 and the Giants have an early one in the second round.
Yeah, that's really big for us.
So that's big stuff.
Well, especially because now, I mean, with that whole DK Metcalf talk and all that other stuff, I mean, initially the Tyreek Hill trade was those two second-round picks.
Correct.
I wonder what – I didn't want to keep him much longer because he's got a lot going on, but I wonder what people feel like, because I've heard, wide receiver, there's a lot of depth in this draft, but what the drop-off is from the 4 he said.
Right.
And then everyone else.
Sounds to him, though, that if Williams never got hurt, that he might be the number one receiver in this draft.
Yeah. I mean, I heard the same thing about that. I heard Garrett Wilson is a stud, like absolute stud.
So who do you want? What is right now, we're 2.5 weeks away. We're not far out. What is the ideal Rick DiPietro Jets 4-10?
A Jets 4-10? I would like Sauce, and I don't think he can wait on him. Because it sounds like, yeah, I mean,
he's not going to be there at 10. Well, it sounds like the Giants like him at 5.
It doesn't sound like he might not be there at 4, the way that Mel just said it. Mel might have him going in the top 3. On Wednesday. I still think Stingley's a good player too, but I would say
you're not going to take him 4 though.
No, I don't think if it's not Sauce, it doesn't feel like they're going to take an offensive lineman So I would say pass rusher and then a wide receiver. If you get those two things, I'd be happy.
If you get a guy and get to the quarterback and a wide receiver to help.
Well, we haven't had one. I mean, we haven't had one in a very long time. And their defense was awful last season.
I can't wait for this draft, by the way.
Yeah, I'm excited too, because I think there actually may be some movement. Not for quarterbacks, because you got to imagine. I mean, Green Bay needs a wide receiver or multiple wide receivers desperately.
Kansas City needs a wide receiver too.
Like he mentioned, corner and wide receiver. Mentioned Philly wants another wide receiver. New Orleans is looking for a wide receiver. So depending on how much people feel like there's that, like, are they in a rush to try to get up to get one of those? To get Jameson Williams, to get Olave, to get Garrett Wilson, to get Drake London?
Williams not going to last that long.
It doesn't feel like it.
He's not going to last that long. All right, let's get to more of your calls on the Yankees and the Mets, 1-800-919-3776. Before we get to those, overall, I thought the K-Rod broadcast was pretty good. It was quick. It was entertaining. You had a good game. I thought they did a really nice job.
Yeah, and by the way, because you know how much I love Michael, I got a special little clip from Michael last night.
You know what's amazing, Alex? This is such a great time in sports. You have a new Masters champion. The NBA playoffs about to start. Baseball's in full swing. People getting engaged. I mean, it's a happy time in the world.
It's crazy. happiness and the world peace is what we're looking for.
You know what? I think of Gandhi and you. That's how I am.
The 2-1 pitch.
Well, that was awkward, huh?
Oh, that was beautiful.
I mean, he took shots at A-Rod there.
Oh, yeah. People getting engaged.
I mean, what? Because Ben Affleck and J-Lo are engaged again, right?
Bennifer, yep.
Yeah.
They got to loosen him up a little bit, though, man. Like, it's the whole point. That Kaster's got to loosen A-Rod up. People A-Rod can't engaged. Go off script. He cannot go off script.
No. He's a little buttoned up.
Yeah. To say the very least.
It was the first one, I think, as we move forward. Now, they're not every week, right? Do you know when their next one is?
I don't know when they're... RJ, how many are they doing?
I think they're doing like 10.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. Eight or 10 come to mind?
Yeah, something like that. But for the first run, I thought it was pretty good.
No, I thought it was good. And I like the fact that Kay actually, because Kay does the Yankees games, obviously, and he's one of the best in the business. How you got, like, you also got a little bit of that thrown in as opposed to like when you watch the Manning cast or you watched even, you know, Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi. It's like you're listening to them talk, but it's not necessarily about the game, and then you're watching the game separately. Like, Kay was like, he was talking, but he was also, you know, and there's the 3-2 pick. You know what I mean? He was throwing in some play-by-play as he was also having the...
So there's eight of them, and I got to tell you, I disagree with that. I don't need play-by-play. I'm turning that broadcast on to get away from the play-by-play to get the fun, jovial Michael and Alex.
No, but I like a little bit of a mix. I like a little bit of a mix. Because otherwise, I would just watch...
You would watch
Otherwise,
Carl
I would just watch
and,
the regular
Eduardo
the regular
and,
telecast.
And David Cohn.
Well, no, but that's no, not that necessarily. I just mean in general.
It was weird to have Cohn on one broadcast and Kay on the other.
That was kind of cool, yeah. I wish they were together. I think those two together are awesome.
They are great. By the way, and I know you know this, but everyone might not, and I will bring it to their attention right now. You know where the draft is? We're the exclusive home of the draft right here on 98.7.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, there's no other show in the country that's sending guests coolers full of whipped cream. It just doesn't happen.
No, it really doesn't. And that's going to happen this Friday. Get to a couple calls, give 3 stars, a little crosstalk. It's all happening here on DiPietro and Rothenberg. Steve in Connecticut. Good morning, Steve. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. Listen, the Yankees need to stop playing around and just sign Aaron already. Just stop contemplating, stop ruminating, stop looking at this and that and the other. The dude had a healthy year last year. Imagine him going, so what? He's going to be a DH. He's going to get paid in the NL. If you let him go.
Steve, it's not going to happen. Steve, you can say it to your blue in the face. The Yankees are not going to cave and give him some astronomical deal. They're not going to do it.
They need to do it.
They're not going to.
Somebody up the scrap pile somewhere.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing, though. Well, what are you going to replace him with?
Exactly. Like, what's the replacement? What are you going to replace him with? You're going to get... Pujols? He's not going to do jack. What are you going to do?
Pujols is 40. He's done. He's 40 years old. Steve, I agree with you.
Pujols is last season.
I would give him what he wanted. Thanks for the call. But I'm just telling you that this idea...
Hold on. You wouldn't give him exactly what
no,
he wanted.
I would. I would go 8 for 260. Absolutely, I would.
Yeah, 8 for 260. That's 32 and a half. So all you do is you take this year. Don't do the whole arbitration thing. You're not making 17. We'll start the deal now. So you make 32 and a half this year for the next 8 years.
And there you go. And then that's a done deal. Instead of now he's going to hit the open market and God knows what's going to happen. All right, Santi.
And you pissed him off by letting everyone know what you offered him.
And he told you the Yankees will be one of 30 teams that can be in the running for one Aaron Judge. Raymond, you have a lot to choose from. It was a very bouncy, very, I thought, well done, well produced show. And now we find out our three stars.
Today's three stars. Number three.
I'm glad you guys went back to the K-Rod broadcast in this segment, because I actually have another clip which I thought was pretty funny when Jeff Passan joined the boys.
Now let's bring in our good friend Jeff Passan. As I mentioned earlier, the best at what he does. So Jeff, we're not going to ask you to scan the QR code. Who do you think is going to win the American League East?
Let me just say first, Michael, I'm really impressed with the technology on this broadcast. Somehow you're in a much smaller box on the left side than mine, and yet your head is somehow almost the exact same size. So very impressive job right there.
You
Alex,
know what?
Your sweater looks great.
I love that he throws in, Alex, your sweater looks great. Kay tried to do the stealth thing with the QR code. I didn't catch it at first, so Passan totally justified in his shot there, it sounds like.
I was nice.
Number two.
I'm here for the crime. I love it.
Listen, if that's what the K-Rod broadcast is going to be, then sign me up.
Yep.
Number two, RJ, I mean, we thought we worked out a date for April 30th. It turns out he's not going to be around because he's got a wedding to go to in Florida. And I'm not so mad about that. We'll get it together. I know we're going to find a date. We will get it together. It's just that RJ's like a wedding all-star. I think he's like the eighth wedding that he's going to be in. And this is the payoff, as he said, for the Vegas one. So maybe there's more to come. We'll see.
Yeah, he's the third little tiny wedding crash that you don't see in the movie.
What is that, like the fourth or fifth one
that's
today?
That's his fourth. I had one. I'm winning. Good.
Number one.
I'm going to give the tie to Ira.
Hello.
And our good buddy, Stephen Mailpack.
Good morning, Robert. I mean,
Good morning. Good morning. Who?
Mr. Roethlisberger.
Ah, okay.
Good morning, Robert.
I hope to hear from Stephen Mailpack. I think he was angry about DJ LeMahieu or something or other in his call. Call back again tomorrow.
That's Steve. A good three stars right there, Santi. Good three stars.
Yeah, very well done. And a co-first star. Excellent work. Speaking of excellent work, in just a matter of moments here on 98.7 ESPN, KJM, we bring in Max Kellerman. Max, I know you're a big Yankees fan. Are you surprised and a little annoyed that this Aaron Judge thing is going to go on all year into the offseason?
Yeah, the answer is yes to that. The Yankees willing to go to age 37 with him at $30.5 million. I mean, obviously, Cashman releases that information to pressure Judge, right? Like, hey, or at least to let the Yankees fans know we did what we could. And Judge, apparently, in the broadcast yesterday, it was reported that he wants 36 year. That resets the market, right? It's such a tough one, guys, because Aaron Judge is a five-tool player for real. Like, he may not have the most fast twitchies, but he's so big, he can really run. He's an excellent defensive player. Big, strong arm, accurate, throws to the right base, fundamentally sound, that stuff. Hits the ball the other way, has maybe the best power naturally ever that we've ever seen. So he's a complete player, but he is almost 30, right? So, and how is he going to age? We've never seen a giant like this play at this level. So we don't know. So, like, what's the comp for him, right? So maybe the closest comp is Dave Winfield. Winfield was a five-tool player, 6'6". He won 280. He was 220. But also a power hitter, but mainly as a power hitter because of how big and strong he was. You know, he was like a line drive hitter. Winfield aged very well, actually. Like, I would be comfortable going, not comfortable, but I would go 7 years with Judge. And if you're going to break through $30 million and he wants 36, you can't meet at 32 and a half, 33. I mean, come on. At that point, you're penny wise and pound foolish.
Well, see, that's my holdup, Max, is they already told you, and Cashman, I don't know why he did it. Obviously, I mean, you mentioned to put pressure on Judge, but Judge didn't like it, so you pissed him off. Is you said you're going to go 7 years. So, I mean, I could get it if you said, you know, 6-7, injury history, we don't want to go seven, we'd rather, you know, six, and that's the sticking point. But you told us you'd go seven, so now we're haggling over a couple $1 million a year.
Yeah, well, it's $5.5 million a year. Which does
but he's
seem
not gonna
to
get
me,
36, but he's not going to get 36.
Right. So, but what's weird to me, I thought they were heading for 32 and a half. That, remember when it was reported it's going to be over 225, I think it was. Whatever the number was, I was like, oh, they're going to go to 32 and a half a year. That sounds right. So you're going to say, no, that's a bridge too far, this extra $2 million bucks. You know, if that's it, that's on the Yankees. That's not on Judge. Look, the whole problem in baseball is the contracts are too long. The one place where I would side with management over labor, which I never do or rarely do, is to limit the length of the deals in baseball. Like a 7-year deal, guys, it's so hard to see that far into the future. I understand why teams get nervous at those numbers. But Aaron Judge, guys, if he's healthy, he's better than 40 home runs. 52 home runs is only really fully healthy year as a rookie. Hit for a good average, did all those things I mentioned. He played 2/3 of a season the following 2 seasons, 27 a pop then. Then there was the shortened season because of COVID. And then last year, under 150 games, 39 home runs again. And he's doing it with on-base percentage and defense. And, like, he is a truly great player in his prime. You got to pay those guys.
And he's homegrown, and he's the face of the franchise. 15 yeah. seconds or less. I know you can do it. What's coming up on the show today, Max?
What's not coming up on the show today, guys? No, we've already been into it. We're getting back into the NBA with Ben Simmons and the Nets and NBA teams and who's going to be scapegoated and where. Well, plenty coming up, guys.
Oh, we can't wait to listen. All right, get back to your show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you have it. That is Max Kellerman. By the way, the next K-Rod this weekend. Braves,
oh, nice.
Padres, Sunday night. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO Roethlenberg and...
Rabbit.
98.7 ESPN.
Hello.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Roethlenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.